You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Your patience, but there is a word. There is a word in the 100th and 24th number of Psalms. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The 124th number of Psalms. Amen. And we want to read this in your hearing, beginning at the first verse. If it had not been. That'll preach right there. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say, now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And just for a few moments, I want to share with us from the thought, the power of God's protection. The power of God's protection. I think all of us would agree that when we started this year, when we started 2020, that we had much anticipation. We had a lot of hopes. We had plans of things that we were going to do. You know, this year is special because, especially in the life of our church, you know, this year marks the 100th anniversary, as well as celebrating our pastor's 40th anniversary. Yes. I would imagine that as we started this year, you never would have thought that things would be like this. No one could have told me, no one could have painted a picture, no one could have, I would have said, you must be out your mind. Who would have known that this year has been plagued with death, chaos, destruction, lies on top of lies? So many things have happened and occurred during this year. You know, recently I was reading an article, an online publication called Mashable, and the headline caught my attention. The headline said, 20 things that helped us get through 2020. Now, if that wasn't intriguing enough, the tagline was the kicker. Listen to this. It says, it was a horrible year, but we're thankful for these 20 saviors. I thought about that, and I began to look at that list. They listed things like January and February as one of the 20 saviors that saved this year. They listed TikTok, Zoom, and other social media programs as a way of saying that these platforms saved 2020. They listed essential workers. They mentioned acts of kindness that restored faith in humanity. I kind of chuckled at that. And as I continued to go down the list, I noticed that something was strange. I noticed that as I continued to go from 15 to number 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, that Jesus was never mentioned. Yeah, it was strange to me. I didn't understand that. I couldn't really comprehend because, wait a minute, all these things that you talked about, all these things that you made tribute to, if it had not been for the Lord, I wish I had a witness in here. If it had not been for the Lord, but let me not get ahead of myself. You see, we must understand and know that this world rejected him, and it will continue to reject him. So God reminded me of that fact, and he settled my heart and mind to know that, no, you don't need to see me on the list. I need to be in your heart. Or do I have a witness in here? You know, it's up to you and I to tell this living, to tell this dying world about a living Savior. Yeah. It's up to us to tell them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, do I have a witness in here? So the question that lies before us is, how do we recognize the power of God's protection? And in fact, how should we respond to the power of God's protection? But even take it closer, how do we even appreciate the power of God's protection? Well, David is going to share with you and I three different things that will help us to understand and, more importantly, appreciate the power of God's protection. Specifically, we're going to take a look at the reflection of God's protection, the reality of God's protection, and lastly, the resolve of God's protection. You see, the 124th number of Psalms is part of a collection of Psalms that are labeled as a song of ascents. And we know that from the 120th number of Psalms to the 134th number of Psalms, there are 15 Psalms that are dedicated to those who made their pilgrimage back to Jerusalem. Specifically, these 15 Psalms, according to some historians, say that there were 15 steps that led up to the temple in Jerusalem. You know, that's something about worship. And I learned this a long time ago that, you know, when we come to worship, we go up to worship. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. You see, we need to go up to worship, to meet God where he is. Yeah, we don't bring him down to where we are, but we go up to where he is. Do I have a witness? You see, these psalms are known as pilgrim psalms, and they reflect the experiences and the expression of those who once were in captivity, but God has made a way for them to be free. Do I have a witness in here? You know, they were exiled. They were held in Babylonian captivity. They were taken to a foreign land, and they had to make the best that they could for over 70 years. So here it is that they're taking the climb up to Jerusalem, and there was a song that was in their hearts. And I would say to you that all of us are some pilgrims. All of us have journeyed through 2020. We had some ups, we had some downs. We had some heartaches, we had some pain. We had many things that we experienced this year, but here's what is important. What is your song? What is your song that now that God has brought you from a mighty long way? What is your song that's in your heart that expresses your thankfulness for what God and only God can do? All of us should have a song that's in our heart. Because if it had not been, it ain't by accident, but if it had not been, for the Lord who was on our side. So as we get into this, I want us to first kind of wrap our minds around the reflection of God's protection. You see, the beginning of this psalm starts with an abrupt statement. If you look at the design of this psalm to say that if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, that's almost a conclusion to some experiences. But it's interesting here that David would write and put it right in the front, because I can imagine that David was sitting and thinking about and reflecting on God's goodness. Oh, you need and I need to sit down somewhere and reflect on God's goodness, because indeed God has been good. Not only has he been good, but he's been better to us than we can ever be to ourselves. Yeah. We don't know the specific circumstances to which David was writing this particular psalm, but we do know a few things about David. Maybe David was reflecting on the fact that when he was a young shepherd boy and he had to fight off a lion and a bear. Maybe he thought about that and said, if it had not been. Maybe when he faced Goliath, right, when everybody else was scared and he had fast, smooth stones. Maybe at that point he was thinking, if it had not been for the Lord. Or maybe when Saul had threw spears at him and tried to kill him, and then he became a fugitive and was always on the run. Maybe it was those experiences that allowed him to pen these words to say that if it had not been for the Lord. Listen, whatever life takes you through, whatever it is that we go through in this life, please understand and know that if it had not been for the Lord. That's enough right there. If it had not been. Yeah. If you made it through COVID, you ought to say, if it had not been. If you still got your job, you ought to say, if it had not been. Even if you lost your job, you ought to say, if it had not been. If you got bread on the table, you ought to say, if it had not been. If you got a piece of car to drive, you ought to say, if it had not been. He's good. He's too good to us. How dare we give credit to anything else but him? If it had not been for the Lord. And then David gets specific about it. He says, he was on our side. Meaning that whatever it is that we go through in life, we don't go through it by ourselves. Do I have a witness in here? Never let Satan deceive your mind and heart to think that you are all by yourself. The psalmist said that if it had not been for the Lord. Yeah, he didn't associate with his money. He didn't associate with his status. It wasn't about him being king, because he realized where his help truly comes from. So, if you think about it, you know, after all that we have experienced and suffered throughout this year, everything that we have seen, all the confusion, all the chaos, all the heartache, not being able to see loved ones, not able to go to the hospital, not able to even go over somebody's house when they're grieving and say, I'm praying for you. Yeah. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. And you do know that God is on your side. You do understand that God is on your side. That's a personal relationship, that God is on your side. Yeah. But what's interesting is that there's a call and response in this text. It's a call and response. And I can imagine that David was standing before the children of Israel and saying, hey, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say, and they repeat it back to him. That lets me know this, that everything that we go through individually and our experiences with God individually always add to the greater collective. Oh, you don't hear me in here. See, you don't go through what you go through by yourself for nothing. You don't go through what you go through because once you made it through, then it's up to you to share with another brother or sister that may be going through. The experiences that we have in this life is not by happenstance. God does not waste any suffering on his children, not one ounce, but it's all designed for you and I to grow. That's why the writer of Hebrews say, listen, we shouldn't forsake the assembly of ourselves. Yeah. We shouldn't forsake the assembly. Why? Because I need you and you need me and we're all a part of God's family. Stand with me and agree with me. We're all a part of God's family. It is his will that every need be supplied. Listen, you are important to me. I need you to survive. That's what it's all about. We have to depend on one another. Don't you know that God has knitted us together? Yeah, we are knitted together as the body of Christ so that we can encourage, strengthen one another, exhort one another, build one another, love one another, forgive one another, take care of one another, pray for one another. It's all about one another. If it had not been for the Lord. But David moves on. He moves on from his reflection to really starting to deal with the reality of God's protection. Look at what he says in the latter part of verse 2. He says, when men rose up against us, and in verse 3, then they would have swallowed us alive with their wrath. When their wrath was what? Kindled, was hot. They were angry against us. Meaning, can I make it simple? What David's saying is that it was some folks that was trying to kill him. There were some folks who were trying to kill the children of God. And make no mistake of it, this world is not your friend. See, anytime when you choose Jesus, you make an enemy out of the world. And the world is not for you. The world is against you. The world will try to deceive you and make you think that what you're doing is wrong. But you have to know for yourself. You know your own testimony. You know what it is that God has brought you through. Don't let nobody deceive you into believing that, you know what, the world got it going on. The world does not have it going on. Listen, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are lost. You are on your way to hell. David identifies two realities that can come up against us. Man and nature. Man and nature. You know, these adversities that we face in this life. See, the reality of God's protection is that he protects us from dangers that are seen and unseen. Yeah. Anybody know about the unseen power of God in your life? You know, let me give you an example. You ever been in a situation where you in your car and the Spirit tells you to stop because somebody was blowing through a red light? That's an example of God's protection. That's an example of something that you didn't see, but He saw it and He made a way for you out of no way. Yeah, there's a reality to God's protection in our lives. You see, we all have some enemies. There are some people that if they had their way, if they really got the chance, if they really got the opportunity, trust me when I tell you, they'll get at you. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying. You got some friends like that. Mm-hmm, smiling in your face. But all the while they looking to take your place. Yeah, there's some backstabbers. Yeah, that's what it is. We got to be very careful to make sure that we understand that God protects us. God protects us. I'm reminded of Job. I remember that in Job where Satan has gone up before God, going to and fro. And he went up and he said, you know what? He said, you know what, God, you know, the only reason Job praises you, the only reason Job is doing anything is because you got your hedges of protection around him, right? But go ahead and move those hedges and let me get at him, and he will curse you to your face. But you see what happened, right? Job never compromised because God already knew what Job was going to do. Can I tell us something real quick? God already knows what you're going through. He already knows how you're going to respond and react. Here's the thing. The more that we saturate our hearts and minds with the word of God, the more that we are able to respond in a way that will give him glory. Yeah, you don't have to cuss nobody out. You don't have to threaten nobody. You don't have to pull your gun out. Amen. But what you do is pray. What you do is stay on your knees and stay saturated in God's word. And when you're saturated in God's word, trust me, the Holy Spirit can work with you. Because it's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of what the Word of God says. You know, speaking of enemies, this reminds me of a reporter. And this reporter was going to interview this man in town who had turned 100 years old. It was his 100th birthday. And the reporter asked him, hey, you know, what are you most proud of? And the old man thought about it, and he said, you know what? I don't have an enemy in the world. And the reporter was kind of shocked by that. And he thought to himself, he's like, man, what a beautiful thing, right? That's so inspirational. The old man replied and said, yep, I outlived every single one of them. You'll get that when you get home. Trust me when I tell you, God is protecting you. Yeah. But really, when we think about what people try to do to us, when you think about your enemies, there's the real enemy behind the scene. You do understand that Satan is our adversary. He is an accuser of the brethren. You know, Satan is our coal. He'll set you up and then go tell on you. Y'all don't hear me. I need some Bible folk in here. But here it is, though. Peter gives us this warning in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because who? Your adversary, the devil, walk about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Peter goes on to say, resist him. And in order to resist him, you first got to recognize him. Do I have a witness in here? Think about it. In the year 2020, we have seen the rise of white nationalism. We have seen militia groups. We have seen people go to the Capitol with guns. We have seen so much hatred in this country. And listen, as much as we could blame Trump, listen, Trump didn't create it. He just highlighted it. He just made it okay for them to come on out. Do I have a witness in here? It's amazing to me that white supremacy now is part of the mainstream. Let me give you an example. Recently, there's a small town that's in Minnesota. It's called Murdoch, Murdoch, Minnesota. And the city council actually gave a permit for a group to start a whites-only church. Did you hear what I said? A whites-only church. They ain't got to worry about me because I ain't going there anyway, but it's just the point. Here's what they said. Here's what's posted on their website. First of all, they said, we do not need salvation. All we need is freedom to face our destiny with courage and honor. And you know what? I could agree with that. Because, you know, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you got a destiny coming. You got a destiny. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Let me be specific about it. You're going to spend eternity in hell. Think about it. They shouldn't be called the church because that's not what Christ died for. That's not what he rose for. That's not what he is advocating at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, and here's what it is. See, because when you break it down, they don't even believe in Christianity. In fact, they say, we honor the God under the names of that were given to them by our German and Norse ancestors. Hate has traction in this world. Hate is used as a tool to manipulate people in this world. But I like what David said. You know, David has some real life experience, especially when it comes to the reality of God's protection. If you look at the 27th number of Psalms, beginning at the second verse, David says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, guess what? They stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We have some protection. Yeah. And what I like about it, David goes on to say, listen, in the time of trouble, Yeah. He will have me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall what? Hide me and set me high upon a rock. And you do know that rock is Jesus Christ. Yeah, so the power of God's protection. It provides us safety and security. It doesn't mean that we are not going to experience some bad things. It doesn't mean that we are immune from the conditions of this fallen world. What it does mean is that when it happens, we can respond differently because we know that God is going to work it out for our good. You do know that. Yeah, there are some snares. There are some traps that have been set for you and I. But that's why we got to keep our head and keep our hearts on the Lord so that he can lead and guide us so we can navigate the treacherous terrain of this life. Yeah, God has a way that you can't go over. God has a way that you can't go under. Yeah, somebody said that God has a way that you can't get around it. You must come in at the door. Yeah. So here we go. In appreciating the power of God's protection, not only should we reflect on God's protection, not only should we just sit down somewhere and be quiet and think about what the Lord has done. Because for every complaint you have, I promise you there's at least two or three blessings that will cover it. We should reflect on God and his goodness. We also need to accept the fact that there is a reality to living under God's protection. We have some enemies. We have some foes. We have some darkness that is around us, right? But lastly, we should have a resolve to God's protection. I want to skip down to verse 8, because it says that our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help. It didn't list GM here. He didn't say nothing about Chrysler. He didn't say nothing about the size of your 401k. He says that our help is in the name of the Lord. You see, to have resolve means that you made a choice. You made a decision. You are determined and your mind is made up. Well, what is our resolve? Well, our resolve is simply this. Our help is in the name of the Lord. You know, the word help in this text means to provide assistance and support at times of hardship and distress. Listen, don't you know that the Lord will help you? Don't you know that he sees everything that you're going through? That's why I love the 46th number of Psalms, where it says that, listen, God is our refuge, a very present help in times of trouble. He's a very present help. That means that God will never leave us nor forsake us. I don't ever have to worry about God abandoning me. Because why? He promises to be present. Yeah. That's why the 121st number of Psalms, or this collection of a song of accents, this psalm is misread so many times. Especially in that first verse where it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. There's a question mark there. And here's what it's saying. As they were making their pilgrimage up to the temple at the top of Jerusalem, they looked beyond the temple to see where their help truly comes from. Their help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. See, if he has the power to create, don't you know that he has the power to control? That went over your head, I understand. But God has the power to change your situation. God has the power to do things that you can't do. God has the power to go beyond what you can even imagine. God has the power. But where is that power? That power is contained in his name. Yeah, there's something about his name. His name could pick us up when we're feeling down. There's something about his name. There's power in his name. There's deliverance in his name. There's joy in his name. There's forgiveness in his name. His name. It's all in his name. I remember hearing a story about this lady a few years ago that was in Lakefield, Florida. And she invited 14 of her friends to come over for a jewelry party. And as they were sitting there, they were drinking tea, having a good time, eating food. You know what the ladies do. Y'all know how y'all do. Right? They're looking at jewelry. They're just having a wonderful time. All of a sudden, a young man with a ski mask on comes into the house, and he's brandishing a gun. And he told the women, hey, listen, Make sure that you give me your money, your jewelry, and your cell phones. And so one of the ladies, you know, she wasn't too aware. She was like, thought this was part of the event. So she, you know, kind of waved, boy, get out of here, waved a gun away from her. And so this made this criminal get even more angrier. So he showed her the bullets in his gun and say, listen, I'm not here to play with you. I will kill you. Give me your money, your jewelry, and your cell phone. The lady who was hosting the party, after everybody realized the seriousness of the situation, the lady that was hosting the party just stood up and said, in the name of Jesus. As the robber still was standing there angry, she kept repeating, in the name of Jesus. And then as she said it over and over again, she gained more confidence and said, in the name of Jesus. And then all the other ladies who were sitting there joined in one accord and said, in the name of Jesus. You see, there's something about the name of Jesus that when his name is called, the situation will change. When his name is called, you will change. This young man was so confused and so befuddled, he didn't know what to do. So he just ran out the house. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess. In the name of Jesus, there is life. In the name of Jesus, there is liberty. There is a name that I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And this is how I know that he first loved me. Through 42 generations, Jesus came down. He healed the sick, provided sight for the blind. He raised the dead. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They couldn't find any fault with him. They hung him on the old rugged cross between two thieves. Jesus died on that cross, buried in another man's tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He declared that all the power in heaven and earth is in my hand. And that power that is in Jesus' hand gives us God's protection for our lives. There's something about the name of Jesus. I don't know who is here. I don't know who's listening and watching us on live stream, but there's a certain reality that you are facing right now at this moment. See, if you don't know Jesus Christ to be the free pardon of your sin, his house shall
we hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.